Well, hello and good morning. This is John Alls, and I'd like to welcome you back on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. We're absolutely thankful that the Lord has allowed us to be with you each and every Sunday, sharing the Word of God. You know, and no matter what goes on around us, we know that God is in control, and that one day we'll see what His plan was. And I can hear some of you saying, well, you know, when I look around, I don't see how any of this could be part of God's plan. Well, I want you to stop and think for a second. And just how do you think the apostles felt when Christ was taken away and crucified on the cross? Do you think they saw the death of Christ as part of God's plan? You know, in all honesty, they should have, because Jesus himself had told them what would happen. But as it was going on, they must have felt that things were just absolutely falling apart. The Bible even tells us that they all forsook him. The plans that had been forming in their mind were falling apart all around him. But in reality, what had happened is exactly what God had planned. And without the death of Jesus Christ, you and I would have no hope of salvation, no hope of forgiveness, and no hope of eternal life. So as we turn the message over to Pastor Reynolds, just keep that in mind as we talk about the role that Judas Iscariot had in the death of Jesus Christ. And keep it in mind as you're faced in your life with things that are going on around you and you're just not sure how this can fit into God's plan. Jesus Christ has a plan, and He is moving and He is working.
The past few Sunday mornings, we've been preaching to you concerning the death of Jesus Christ. In this month, we have studied what Simon of Cyrene thought. Also, we've studied about Barabbas. And last Sunday, we studied about Pontius Pilate. This morning, we want to look at Judas Iscariot and see what the Bible says about him. The book of Matthew 27, verses 1 through 10, is telling about this. The Bible said here in this place, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." Notice in verse number 1, the Bible here records that the morning was come. In other words, at the breaking of the day. This is an illegal trial. It was at night when Jesus Christ was tried. And here, as the day dawns, the people are still thinking about crucifying Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse number 2, "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." In verse number 3, the Bible takes up here the thought about Judas. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." The Bible said in verse number 6, "And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which is spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, 'And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value. And they gave them for a potter's field, as the Lord appointed me.'" Notice first of all here, in verse number 6, that Judas Iscariot, when he saw that Jesus Christ was condemned, that he took the silver that he had been given and went back to the chief priest. And he said to them, I can't take this, because Jesus Christ is innocent. And he took that silver and he threw those pieces of silver down. He threw them all over the place. But those Jews had to go and pick them back up. They took that silver and they bought this field to bury strangers in. The Bible says the reason they did all that, they said, we can't put this money back into the treasury because it is the price of blood. Let me ask you a question. When did the silver become the price of blood? Was it the price of blood when it was given unto Judas Iscariot to go as a payment for him betraying Jesus Christ? Or did it become after that? Think of that. These Jews are just thinking of what they can do. They want to deceive Christ. They want to bring him into the place of crucifixion. They want to kill him. They want to get him out of the way. And they'll do anything in their power to do it. The silver actually became bloody money whenever they paid Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus Christ. Not after that. Not at all. Think of that. This is the way that sinners compromise the Word of God. This is the way that sinners think. It's against the Word of God, but this is the way that they think. Notice in verse number 3, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned. What was it that Judas thought Jesus Christ would do? Well, I really don't know what he thought. The Bible doesn't really say what he thought, but the Bible says that when Judas saw that Jesus Christ was condemned, when he understood that Jesus Christ was absolutely condemned, then is when he brought the silver back to the Jews. It's just my opinion. I believe that Judas thought that Jesus Christ would simply slip away. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ many, many times was brought before the Pharisees. He was brought before that group. And every time he had escaped or he had given a good answer, they could not answer him anymore. But in their hearts, they were at the point that they were going to get Jesus Christ. It is very likely that Judas simply thought, this is just one more time that Jesus Christ will be brought before the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't understand that Jesus Christ would die for their sins. He didn't understand that at all. He thought that Jesus Christ would simply escape them once again. This happened many times in the Scriptures. But this time is a time when Jesus Christ would fall into the hands of the Jews and allow himself to be crucified. This is exactly what happened. You see, I don't think that Judas actually thought that Jesus Christ was guilty of anything at all. Verse number 3 tells us that when Judas realizes that Jesus is condemned, he is sorry for the crime he has committed against the perfect one, against Jesus Christ. When the Bible says here in Matthew 27, verse number 3, that Judas repents himself, it doesn't mean that he is sorry for his sins or that he saw himself as a sinner before Almighty God. When Judas repents himself, the Bible clearly means that he was sorry only for the crime he had committed against Christ. It simply means that Judas had an emotional change because of the particular crime of betraying Christ. The repentance he felt was regret. Sure, Judas had remorse, but the remorse he had was that he was sorry only for the betrayal of Jesus Christ. He was sorry for his actions, not that he saw himself as a total, complete, hell-deserving sinner. This is the difference in repenting for an act and repenting for what you really are. There's a lot of people that I meet from time to time, and they repent for an act that they did. That doesn't mean that they're saved. But Judas was in that category. He repented for an act that he had committed. The Bible said in verse number 4, Judas said, when he came before the priest and the elders, he said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. So Judas recognized the innocence of Jesus Christ, and he recognized that he had betrayed Jesus Christ, the perfect one, but that didn't mean Judas was saved. It simply means that Judas saw that he had committed one sin, and that sin was against a perfect one, against the perfect Jesus Christ. He is taking the 30 pieces of silver back to the chief priests and elders, showed that he longed to change his decision. He longed to change just one decision. But Judas did not pray for forgiveness because he was a sinner. He didn't see that he needed forgiveness for being a sinner. He only needed to straighten out this one mistake he had made. You see the difference? A sinner must confess before God that he is a sinner before he can ever be saved. But Judas didn't do that. Judas repented for one mistake, for one sin. It meant an end that he had betrayed the innocent blood. But this is one decision that cannot be changed. It is done. It is finished. And it cannot be changed in the smallest way. This is like every sin that we ever sin. But the sins that we sin ought to show us what we really are before Almighty God, that we are a sinner. We need to be forgiven of our sins, not just one sin. We have many more sins than that. We have sins we don't even know about. But all of that comes to us because we are born into sin. We need to ask God that he would forgive us of being a sinner. Judas did not do that. Judas simply asked men to take the money back. It's one thing to ask men to do something, but it's something else again when a sinner asks God to forgive them. Judas did not ask God to forgive him. Judas asked only men to forgive him. And that is not salvation at all. This shows that Judas did not suppose that the affair would have resulted in all of this bad action. I think that Judas expected that Jesus would have worked a miracle to deliver himself and not have suffered the condemnation to come upon him. When Judas saw Jesus Christ taken, when Judas saw that Jesus Christ was bound, when he saw that he was tried, when Judas saw that Jesus Christ was condemned, when he saw that all probability that he would deliver himself was taken away, this is when Judas was overwhelmed with disappointment. He was overwhelmed with sorrow and remorse of conscience. Remember, these words, repented himself, does not of necessity denote a change for the better, but any change of views and feelings. Here, this thought that Judas repented himself, it evidently means that no other change than that produced by the horrors of a guilty conscience. Judas had deep remorse. There's no doubt about that. For the crime had unexpected results. Judas really thought that he could just take the money and Jesus would escape. But it didn't happen the way that Judas expected it to happen. You see, true repentance leads the sinner to the Savior. But in this case, Judas was led away from the Savior to the gallows. That's right. Judas went and hung himself. The Bible says that his bowels gushed out and he died because of the deep remorse that he felt. If only Judas had been really sorry for what he was, instead of being sorry for one sin, he would have come to Jesus, would he not? He would have confessed his crime at his feet. He would have sought for pardon at the feet of Jesus Christ. But overwhelmed with remorse and the conviction of the vast guilt that he was guilty of, he was not willing to come into his presence at all, but added to the crime of a traitor, that of suicide. This man was not a true believer in Jesus Christ. Now, I want to say right here that just because Judas committed suicide and he killed himself and went into his own place, I believe he went to hell. But I do not believe that every person that commits suicide goes into an eternal hell. If they are saved by the grace of God, they are saved eternally. Suicide is wrong. It is a sin against yourself. It is a sin against God. It is condemned in the Scriptures. It is not right, so don't do it. Real, true, godly repentance is more than just physical repentance. It is a change of choice. It is a change of the entire life. True repentance is more than being sorry for just one act. It is being sorry for the way we are. It is being sorry for us. That's what repentance is. Because we understand that we are sinners. And we need forgiveness for being a sinner, not just for one sin. This makes all the difference in the world. It makes an eternity's difference. If you will today recognize all the sins that you have sinned, but you don't repent because you are a sinner, you're still lost. But the Bible says that we recognize before God that we are a sinner. We repent because of what we are, and we trust Jesus Christ and the shed blood that he has given for us on the cross of Calvary. That leads us to eternal life. That is the way it is. Judas was sorry only for one sin. The Bible said in Matthew 27 and verse number 4, when Judas said, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. You see, Judas recognized that Jesus Christ was innocent. He recognized also that he was guilty. But he was guilty only of betraying Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. Judas remained lost. You will also remain lost if you confess only one sin. But you must confess before God that you are a sinner. That is when Jesus Christ graciously gives you eternal life. You see, true repentance is more than being sorry for one act. It is being so sorry for a way an individual is that from this point on, there is no desire for one to put his own thoughts into a matter. You see what real repentance is? Repentance does not mean that I'm sorry, but repentance means a change of mind. That is what repentance really means. You look it up in the Bible and you'll find that so. Repentance is a change of mind about who we are and what we're trusting in. Repentance comes as a gift of Almighty God. And then we're able to trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. This situation is exactly what the Apostle Peter came into. You see, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 61, we find here that Peter, he repented as well. But Peter was already a believer. Notice the situation. Peter had just cut off the high priest's servant's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is found in the book of Luke 22 and verse 50 through verse number 53. When this happened, Peter was very sure of himself. And he, having a sword, drew it. He was not a good marksman at all, because Peter only cut off the ear of Malchus, the high priest's servant. I don't think he was really aiming at his ear. I think that the apostle Peter here was aiming at the head of this servant. I believe that Peter was intent upon defending the Lord, and I believe that Peter took his sword and he was coming down with that, but instead of hitting him right on top of the head with it, he missed his head and he cut off his ear instead. Now, think with me just a second. When Peter cut off his ear, isn't it amazing that he didn't cut off his shoulder? You would think that there'd be more damage done to the man, because when the sword comes down and it cuts off his ear, you would think also that it would cut some of the shoulder. But it did not. That there'd be blood everywhere. What did Jesus Christ do? In verse number 51. And Jesus answered and said, "Suffer ye thus far." And he touched his ear and healed him. This is an amazing thing, that Peter cut off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus reached up and healed it, and the blood, I would imagine, was still there. Now notice, in verse number 54, that Peter denied the Lord three times. It's recorded for us very plainly here in Luke 22 and verse number 54. Then they took Jesus Christ and led him. They didn't drive Jesus Christ away. They didn't force him to go, but they led him away as a sheep is led to the slaughter. And they brought him to the high priest's servant's house, and Peter followed afar off. That means Peter was a long way off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked on him, and said, "This man was also with them." In verse number 57 of Luke chapter 22, we find the first time that Peter denied Jesus Christ. The Bible said in verse 57, "And he denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not." In verse 58, the second time comes up. "And after a little while, another saw him and said, Thou also art of him. And Peter said, Man, I am not." That's the second time that Peter denies the Lord. In verse 59, "And about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest." The Bible said, "And immediately the cock crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me three times." The Bible said in verse 62, "And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Well, I think that Peter was a believer. I really believe that. But Judas was not a believer. Peter went out and wept bitterly. I think that Peter got it all together. I think that Peter showed how he trusted the Lord on the day of Pentecost when he preached the sermon on that day. And 3,000 precious Jews turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and were gloriously redeemed. Peter went on and wrote 2 books in the New Testament. But before Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, Peter led the disciples to go fishing in John 21. And Jesus Christ came to them and said, "You're fishing on the wrong side of the boat." Isn't that an amazing thing? Jesus Christ came and said, "All you got to do to catch fish is to fish on the other side of the boat." And they did. And then they caught many fish. They all came to shore. And Jesus there had already built a fire and prepared a fish meal for them. You think that any of the fish that they caught was what Jesus cooked for them? I don't think so. I think that Jesus Christ provided the fish for them. This is an amazing thing that God does. And then Jesus Christ said to Peter three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me?" You see, there's got to come this time that we must understand that Jesus Christ is the one that we serve. He is the one that knows all things about us. He's the one that proves all things about us. He's the one that we must serve. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 11 through verse 12. Peter remembers this. Peter remembered that Jesus Christ is the one that we ought to serve. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse number 12, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." And here, Peter is referring back to John 21. But Peter goes on, and he says this in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who were eyewitnesses of his majesty." You see, there's a difference in the way that Judas lived his life. Judas, no doubt, did many miracles, but that didn't mean he was saved, because he wasn't trusting in Jesus Christ. But Peter, although he denied Jesus Christ, was saved. You see, the difference is that a person must come to Jesus Christ and admit to God that they themselves are a sinner. Not that they've just sinned, but that person must confess before God that they themselves are a sinner. This is absolutely the way it is. Every person, when they're born, they have sin in them. A little baby, a little child has sin in them. As they grow up, they come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they must trust Jesus Christ and Him alone. Don't trust anything you've ever done, but trust Jesus Christ. Repent because of what you are before Almighty God, and trust in the only one that can wash away your sins. Jesus Christ is the one. He can forgive you of what you are, and He can wash away all of your sins.
You know, we trust that you've been blessed by this series so far, and if you've missed any of them, or you just want to simply go back and listen again, check out the audio section of our website. The website address is www.independencebaptist.org. And if you simply want to go into the audio section, you'll see an area where we have radio broadcasts stored. From there, you can listen to any of those messages that you might have missed. While you're there, go ahead and check out some of the other books, articles, and tracks that are available. And of course, another great resource, if you'd like to listen to maybe some of the full-length sermons that have been preached from the pulpit, check out www.sermonaudio.com/IBC. This is where we post all of our sermons that are preached there at Independence Baptist Church. Now, for some of you, actually coming by and visiting with us in person might be an option. We're located at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. So we're just a really short distance from places like Warrenton and Wright City, Wentzville, Lake St. Louis, and all those other surrounding areas. And we'll be meeting each and every Sunday at 10 a.m. for Sunday school, 11 a.m. worship services, 3:45 prayer meeting, and 4:30 evening worship services. In addition, we'll be meeting for Bible study every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Well, we are once again out of time, but we are glad you're able to listen this morning, and we look forward to being with you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. as we once again open up and explore the Holy Word of God